Our first scripture lesson today comes to us from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned, because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our source. We are the clay, and you are potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. I'm reading from Mark, the 13th chapter, verses 24 through 37. Let us listen for God's word in our lives and in these words. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you will know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. absence, apocalypse, and anticipation. The first Sunday of Advent is always an odd day. Today, our scripture readings stand in stark contrast to what we expect as we lead into the Christmas season. Instead of talking about Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, we are drawn into what appears to be the absence of God. Come down, Isaiah pleads. You have hidden your face. You have deserted us, forgotten us. And Jesus in the Gospel of Mark quotes ominous apocalyptic text about dark days before the end of time. Some may say it's a pretty good description of the world today. From the public square of pandemic and political discourse, from kitchen tables spread with unpaid bills and mortgages, from unemployment lines and relief shelters, from food lines, from underneath mountains of debt, the world looks a lot like Isaiah and Jesus describe it. Even the natural happenings in our world, with unheard of before frequency and hurricanes and fires and floods. Both the text and the current media leave us with unresolved anticipation that things just aren't right, and that something is about to happen. But what and when? Of course, we Christians think we know the answers to these questions. So why even waste time with all of this doom, gloom, and uncertainty when we know Christmas is just a short month away? Well, perhaps the reason is found in Jesus' lesson. That little lesson tucked away in the reading, that lesson of the fig tree. Watch a barren fig tree, Jesus says, and it will tell you when summer is coming. Then he tells a parable about a housemaster coming home unexpectedly, with the point of both stories being, pay attention. Keep awake. Be patient. So if we take Jesus' advice and pay attention to what's going on in the world, what do we see? Well, I don't know about you, but a lot of what I see and hear is a wave of instability and unrest that seems to cut across political, cultural, national, ideological, and religious divides. If we were to peel away the layers of media manipulation and political posturing and all the differences of ideology or religion, we would discover that nearly all people are feeling and saying the same things, just in different ways. Instability and unrest gets framed as all these other things. But at their core is a real sense that former ways of doing and living just don't seem to be working for most people. Institutions and systems are being questioned, challenged, and some even rejected. And underneath it all is a deep yearning for meaning and purpose. Around our country, around the world, people have even taken to the streets, exposing oppressive systems, but more importantly, hoping to find some human dignity. The signs around us, if we are paying attention, seem to indicate a season of transition. A season of transition much like the fig tree. The old leaves are falling or have already fallen. But before the new ones appear, there is a season of unrest and waiting. I was in another part of the country for just a few days while on vacation, in a northern part of the country where they actually experience seasonal change, not like here in Florida. And I experienced for the first time in a number of years the bare trees. Bare trees against a blue sky. Some say this looks stark and empty, but I've always seen those bare trees as full of promise, full of hope. Just the same way that Jesus sees this fig tree. Pay attention. Some years ago, I had a quote that I had printed out and put on the door of my study. It was a quote from author Tama Keeves, who was writing about times of transition. And this is what she said. Everybody wants to rush through transition like it's a bad root canal. But transition is a threshold. It's a sacred life appointment, the crossing from one world into another. There are promises, revelations, and messages during this time. You will not escape yourself here. You will not avoid your deepest questions. And this is a blessing. Well, I'm not so sure that you'll find a better description of the season of Advent. Advent is a time of shedding the old and waiting. It is a time to embrace dormancy. It is a time to detach and listen, not so much to the clamor of the world, but to the silence in our souls. The great irony of our culture is that we have turned this season into one of the most hectic, pressurized times of the year. I would go so far as to say And please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But during this time of pandemic, during this time of isolation, if we look and listen, we will actually experience some times of blessing and hope and promise, because we have literally slowed down. We've been forced to slow down. And this will be a Christmas season like none other, if we will but take advantage of this time. Of course, there is suffering. Of course, there is pain. But this is what this scripture is talking about. We are brought into a liminal space. Listen. Advent comes around every year to remind us to take time, to make room for the transformative presence of God in our lives. But you might ask, how do we do this without becoming Scrooge-like monks? Well, I want to suggest three things for us this morning. First, turn off the TV. Put down the newspaper. Give the internet a rest. Try going at least one day, 1 week, more if you can, without the bombardment of media in our lives. Create some room for our own thoughts and feelings, not what everybody else is telling us to think and feel. Next, tune in to silence and stillness. For 15 minutes, just 15 minutes each day, find the time to just sit and be quiet. No Bible verses, no mantras, no music. Just listening to ourselves breathe. 15 minutes a day. Still and silent. And finally, I invite us to take time to join with others in intentional daily devotional reflection. Our Trinity Worship Ministry is providing daily materials on our church website, materials that come to us from the PCUSA Mission Agency. And on the home page of our website, there is a link for you to participate online or download the material. But to participate in this intentional practice. Be intentional, starting today. Today is the first day of Advent. The first day's reading is there. There's some recorded music each day to listen to as you read and contemplate, as you pause and pay attention. Three things: turning off, tuning in, and taking time. Seem to be very simple, but and they really are, but won't be easy. We'll have to be intentional. may have to give up something else, and we may even have to make ourselves do them. But if we pay attention, if we stay awake, and if we listen to our lives, the heavens just may tear open and the presence of God fall down upon us. Amen. Our charge this morning is simple. It comes from Jesus Himself. He says, keep awake. Pay attention. Over in the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians, he lists the fruits of the Spirit, a famous list to all of us Christians. It's been embroidered and printed and framed and is probably on many of our walls today. But those fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I would like to suggest to us this morning, if we are to keep awake, if we are to pay attention, that we desperately need all of these fruits, but we in particular need two of them. We need patience. We need to wait. And we need self-control. We need to be intentional about this season of Advent, this season of waiting, watching, and reflecting. And now let us join together in a closing prayer. Gracious God, as we embark upon another Advent journey, we pray that we would be encouraged by hope, strengthened in unity, and inspired through faith. May our ears be open and our hearts ready to receive the gift of hope embodied in the Word made flesh. We pray this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.